because everyone likes a good annual meeting, right? It's what you want to do. The sun's shining. Let's go inside and do business. Everyone loves that, don't we? Well, we do have to do a little bit of business, but bring a dessert. We want to spend some time together, talk a little bit more about Country Hills and where God is leading us, a little bit more vision-related things, and more so than anything else, spend some time praying together. We are a church. We're not an institution, and we're just dependent upon God. If we're not seeking Him, seeking His face, then all our plans are just useless. They're just plans. So I encourage you to come tonight and meet with us as we pray, talk a little bit about where we're going, what we sense God doing. This weekend's been a bit of a vision weekend. Thursday night I met with our ministry leaders and talked a little bit about how we implement our vision on a ministry level. This morning, guys, you'll like this morning, right? Girls, when you go shopping, what do? You go everywhere, you pick things through, you decide, you buy, you take it back, you do all this. Guys, we're in, we're out, right? We want the bottom line. That's all we want. This morning, bottom line. Okay, bottom line, this is what you need to know about how we sense God leading us as Country Hills. And tonight, talk a little bit more about our mission and our values and what that might mean for us moving forward. So, our history of Country Hills is this. God first gave, and here we have just a note that talks about a new missionary church in Southwest Kitchener. In 1983, Pastor Mark Bolander, some other local pastors and lay people, and people from our denominational office had been talking about church planting and decided to try something in the Country Hills area of Kitchener. And the first service was held January 8th, 1984. Here's the bulletin from that Sunday service at 10:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. And they met at Laurentian Hills Senior Public School just on Westmount, just down here. And they met there in 1989. The first building was built, our only building, and it's here where we are. Who knows? Maybe there'll be another building someday. But our current current location was dedicated. We started meeting in a gym. We still meet in a gym. And we've been multi-purpose, and a lot has changed. We really had a heart for a community back then. And for some of you who, you know, have been here all the way along since meeting in the school and all those things, man, things are crazy sometimes back then. Can you remember some of that stuff? It was nuts. We were crazy. There's crazy stuff going on. And we still have a lot of that heart. You're still all crazy. So my family had the privilege of being a part of things early on. My dad came to the first service with a college and career age singing group from Bethel New Dundee, where we had been attending. And about a month later, our family started attending. And in February of 1984, a lot of things have changed over the years. But that's in a nutshell where we came from. If you want more detailed stuff, we can do that at another time. But where are we at now, and where are we going? Well, we've had a lot of transition over the past 2.5, 3 years as a church, and we're trying to find our feet somewhat. We've had a vision since vision statement anyway since 2007. We've been a church of transition, as I said, but we're poised to really see God do some new things. We literally have new people connecting with us every week. We've got a lot of great things going on. But even though we've had this vision statement, even though we've got a lot of great things going on, I have a sense that maybe we're not on the same page as much as we could be. That we are diverse, and that's great. But as far as understanding our vision statement, as far as understanding where God is taking us, I would imagine that most of us sitting here really don't have a clear idea of what Country Hills Church is all about and where God is leading us. Yeah, we're a church and we do church stuff. Like, that's not going to change. But this morning, what I hope to do is help you understand some of the uniqueness that I think God has been calling us to. And we've been having surveys and meetings and all sorts of stuff for 10 years now to get a vision statement when Eugene was here to figure out what we wanted to be as a church. And so we've taken some of that data, and the elders and myself this fall and this spring, and sitting with ministry leaders, have just come up with some things that are unique to us. Not unique in the sense that It's new to any church. Listen, every church is called to the same thing. You know that? Okay, there's no church that's cutting edge and innovative in our calling and our purpose. We're not. We're all called and purposed to do the same thing. But we're each unique in how we live that out. Just like each one of you are unique in how you live out your calling and your purpose, every one of you. So I want to go through three things, three groups of three that might help us understand this a little bit. You ready? Good? Come on, nod. Tell me you're live. Yes, we're awake. We're good. Okay? So breathe, love, serve. I want you to say that with me. Breathe, love, serve. 317. 317. Disciple, disciple, disciple. Good job. We're coming back to that at the end, but that's basically our roadmap this morning. Few simple things to help us understand, and in case you think I'm doing a business meeting, I'm not. I'm going to try and preach some things too. I believe with my whole heart that the church, and when I say the church, I don't talk about buildings, programs, all the stuff we think of as church. I'm talking people. Okay, the New Testament uses a word for the church that's used in two different ways. It's used both for all followers of Jesus throughout the world and for local gatherings of followers of Jesus, of Christians who meet together on a regular basis to live out their faith together. So when I say the church, I'm not talking building and programs and stuff. I'm talking people. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is God's idea. The church is the way that God purposed to spread his kingdom. It just is. It's not something we make up. And when I say the church, it's hard. We think programs. God thinks people. Our faith is not private. Okay, we live out our faith. We live out following Jesus on our own as individuals, scattered all over the place. None of us, I don't think there's anyone who are direct neighbors here. I don't think so. I mean, maybe close in neighborhoods, but we're scattered all over the place. We have different jobs, different schools. God has scattered us, but we gather together to be together and to live our faith together as well. It's not private. But there is a private component to it because on our own, we have our own unique lives, but we're together as a people as well. So through God's people called the church, gathered together and scattered, sent out, his kingdom spreads. As I said, every individual has a general calling and purpose. All of us. We all have the same general calling and purpose. Every church has the same general calling and purpose. It's not different for anyone. We've called those the Great Commandment and Great Commission for several hundreds of years. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Matthew 22, 37 to 40 says this. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Good job. You caught that cue. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. That's the Great Commandments, I'll say. Okay, that's part of our call and our purpose. That's for everyone. That's for us as individuals and us as a church. We are to live that out. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." That's a tough term. We wrestled with that as elders because we really had a hard term with that. Make disciples. What's our calling? We're to make disciples. Well, you really grow disciples and you kind of build disciples. When we went back to New Testament and the Greek and the language, guess what word God uses? Make. So we are called to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands. Remember commands? Teach them to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always. You're not on your own. I'm here to the end of the age. This is our general calling and our purpose as individuals on our own, as we live our lives out scattered all over the place, and as we gather together. Every time we gather together, this is what we're doing. We're called to love and we're called to make disciples. But God has a unique plan and purpose for each one of your lives. I can look at all of you and I can clearly see none of you are the same. That goes without saying, right? We're each unique. We have our own background. We have our own personalities. We have our own bent on life. We have our own history. We have our own occupation, our own families. We all have different lives. We are unique. God has created us this way. We each have a general calling and mission on our life, but we have a very, very unique plan and purpose for our life. Each one of us. And so do we as a church. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. So all of us who follow Jesus, it's nothing we've done except receive, except believe and follow. It's all God's work and his plan right from the beginning. It's a gift. Salvation isn't a reward for good things. None of us can do anything good enough to make God happy with us. He just simply loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. He's done all the work so that none of us can boast. For we are God's masterpiece. We are unique. He planned us out uniquely. He loves us and designed us. He's created us new in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Being saved, following Jesus, isn't about what you do, but what you do is a result of the relationship you already have. So he's got some stuff that only you can do. If he's designed you as a masterpiece, each one of you have something specific that only you can do. Only you. And if you don't do it, it ain't getting done. As a church, we have a unique plan and purpose for our life together. God has purposed in Country Hills some things. We're planted in this unique community. We have all of you as unique people with different giftings, callings, abilities, resources, different knowledge, wisdom, spiritual gifts. All of this uniqueness together makes us different. We have different resources than other churches have. We have a different community than other churches have. We have a different story than other churches have. Still called to the same thing. We're called to love and make disciples, but we will do that uniquely. Each one of you are called to love others and make disciples. Each one of you. But the way you will do that is different because you're different. You're in different lives. So as a church, we are the same. So there's a sense of rhythm here. As individuals, you have general calling and mission and a unique plan and purpose, but together as a gathered people, we have a general plan or a general calling and mission and a unique purpose, a unique plan for us. So what does that mean? Breathe, love, serve. That's the first thing we'll go to. A good vision statement or a good vision at all, if it's to be meaningful, needs to be something that's fluid and real. It needs to be something that gives us a view of what is down the road. Calls us to something. It's much like a painting. I think I could paint that. It's much like a painting, but we're painting with words. When you paint something, you want people to generally understand somehow what you get. You're expressing something. And our vision statement expresses something. A vision statement is much like a mountaintop brochure, okay? It's what you want to hand someone to say, hey, this is what it's like, okay? So here's a few advertisements. Somewhere between heaven and earth, okay? This is a place you can go. Sound good? I think it looks good. I'd go. Live above it all, okay? It's saying, hey, this is what we have to offer. It's not detailed, but it entices you. Next. Island Oasis Resort. This one's kind of funny. Okay? Island Oasis Resort can offer a relaxing weekend for you and that special person. How ambiguous. Or make it a girl's weekend filled with spa, sun, and sunsets. Why didn't they say make it a guy's weekend filled with spa? I don't know. So, gives you an idea of what you're getting into. Country Hills has a vision. Whatever it takes, we will breathe God, even touch God. We will be family, loving, deeply. We will follow Christ, serving recklessly. This is a picture of where we believe God is leading us. It doesn't necessarily define exactly how we are right now, but it's what we aim to be. It's what we're walking towards. This is a picture of where we believe God. It's prophetic, where we believe God is calling us. So this fall, I spent some time pulling some things together in this spring, and from those times, and with ministry leaders, we're trying to get more specific, to have a better understanding of how to live that out. Now, we've had it for a number of years, but I don't think we really understand how to live this out. And this is the season of life we're heading into as a church. Trying to be intentional about living it out. Acts 2:42 to 47. Now, you can kind of see the different colors, sort of. If you're colorblind, I apologize. We've got breathe, love, serve. What I'm expressing today and what we have in our vision statement is nothing new. I can't get that through enough. Bottom line, nothing new. Nothing new, nothing new, nothing new. Simply unique language to us, to our culture. It's the language we're using for our culture. And this is really where we've gotten this from. This is a story of how the early church began. Whenever someone talks about the church and how we're supposed to be, generally, if you're going to a seminar or hear a sermon, you're going to talk Acts chapter 2, because this is where it all began. It's where things started humming and rolling really well, and then like 2-3 chapters later, the wheels came off and people started being people, and you have the whole rest of the New Testament, which is letters to broken churches who've got it all messed up. But at least for here, they began well. So when you see a 1 or the color blue, we're thinking breathe. When you see a 2 or the color red, we're thinking love. When you see a 3 or the color green, we're thinking serve. All the believers devoted themselves to breathe, the apostles' teaching, and to love, fellowship, and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which is breathe, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Breathe. Apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And love, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Serve, they sold the property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Breathe, they worshiped together at the temple each day. And love, they met in each other's homes. Breathe, for the Lord's Supper. Love, they shared their meals. Serve with great joy and generosity and sincere hearts. Breathe, all the while praising God and enjoying. Serve the goodwill of all the people, not in the church, everywhere. Everyone gave them goodwill, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Okay, so that's where it comes from, but those three words really might not mean much to you, and I hope to change that this morning. So we're not saying anything unique. We're not trying to do anything, or we are saying something unique. We're not saying something new, okay? We're trying to take what God has given us and understand it in a unique way. We have a unique story, a unique background, you're unique people, and if we're going to live this out, we have to understand it in that way. Okay, have I lost you so far? No, sort of. Our vision statement. I believe what God's calling us to is to be a people who do whatever it takes to spread the kingdom. To be a people who are so passionately connected to and following God, that's like we touch him, okay? We're so dependent on him, he is our air, he's our breath. Be a family who loves deeply one another, and in turn loves those outside our walls and our family. And to be a people who follow Christ by serving, not recklessly and carelessly, with reckless abandon. Not considering your own needs first, but putting the needs of others before your own. Our Country Hills culture and language is breathe, love, serve. It's not a gimmick. It's not something we put on a wall or in a brochure or on a website or whatever and then never go back to. It's something I'm calling us to. It's a lifestyle. Our vision encourages us to live out our faith on our own as individuals and as we gather, as a gathered people. So we'll move on to 317. If you want to skip forward, Darlene, you can go next one. So it's a lifestyle, all right? 317, what do I mean by 317? Okay, I'm trying to give simplified ways to understand this. So far we've talked about breathe, love, serve. Let's say it. Breathe, love, serve, okay? 317, ready? 317, all right? Three elements, one thing at a time, seven markers. Couldn't be easier than that. Got it? Good, let's go home. No, it's a little more complex than that. Three elements, we've already talked about them. Three elements to the way we do life. Breathe, love, serve. What does the breathe, love, serve have to do with anything, these three elements? Well, let me explain what each of the elements means a little bit, and then this rhythm of how we live it out alone and how we live it out together. I'm not trying to call us to something new. It's only different language. We're using different language because we are unique. Okay, breathe. We believe we are called to breathe and touch God, that he becomes so real to us that it's like we can touch him. He's in the room with us. His presence is so heavy. The Holy Spirit is so a part of who we are. Okay, it's like we can touch him. That we're so dependent on God, he's our heir. We're not dependent on structures. We're not dependent on anything I share this morning, Thursday night with the ministry leaders, or tonight. We're not dependent on those things. Those are just intentional ways of living. We are dependent on God. So how does this work with this ebb and flow? Well, breathe. Together, we gather to breathe and touch God. That's what we're doing this morning. The primary purpose of gathering this morning is to together learn what it means to breathe and touch God. But we have to do this alone as well. So when you go home from here, you don't have all of us. You don't have me. You don't have others around you. You're on your own. And we need to learn to breathe and touch God in our daily lives. That's what we call a quiet time, spiritual experience with God. The times you spend alone with God, becoming more and more mature, directly impact what we do here. What we do here when we gather directly impacts your relationship with God. You can't have one without the other. We're not a private faith. You can do all you want on your own with God, but if you're not gathering with other believers, you're missing out on a big chunk of your life. You can come to church, and that's great. That's wonderful. Good job. But that's the starting point. That's the starting point. God wants a personal relationship with you. What we do here impacts your life as you're scattered out around your own lives. What happens out there in your own lives impacts what we do here. What about love? We're all called to love. It's the great commandment. Okay? We love others. Why? Because God first loved us. Even in our sin, our brokenness, our mess, God said, I'm crazy about you. I made you uniquely. I have a plan for you. I love you. You sinned against me. You did things that are terrible, but I still love you. I still forgive you. And so we love others because we are first loved by God. But the way that Scripture lays out to learn to love others as God loves us is we begin here first. You begin learning and practicing what it is to love others by beginning with others who follow Jesus. That's the way Jesus laid it out. You love one another first. God loves us, we love one another first, and it doesn't end there. That's sometimes an exclusive church where we just think about ourselves. God wants us to learn to love one another so that when we get on our own, we learn to love others outside. Make sense? So we come together, we gather together in smaller groups generally to do life on life. You get involved in the mess of another person's life or another group of people's lives where you can be family. We talk about it as family. It's a scriptural word. And you learn to love each other. You learn to love in spite of quirks and things you don't like. And as you learn to love people in this safe environment, in a smaller group, it will help you learn to love others in your everyday walk. There's a rhythm. As you're looking for opportunities every day that God presents you to share the love of God with others on your own, in your own life, that's going to only enhance your family that you meet with here, your church family. We're not being exclusive. There's a rhythm. Those who are not yet in the family of God are still experiencing God's love, but you're going to be better at doing that as you get involved with a smaller group of people so that you can love and be loved. We all need that. We all need that connection. Serve. We put the needs of others first. It's our call. Generosity. Okay? In a few weeks, we're looking at generosity in James, but generosity is the thing that will combat the greatest prevailing religion of our time. Do you know what the greatest prevailing religion of our time? It's not anything you'd think. It's consumerism. It's consumerism. Heard Alan Hirsch, if you know who he is, he said that a couple years ago. And I believe it. Generosity sets us apart as followers of Jesus because we live in a world who tends not to be generous. So we serve with our time, our stuff, our energy. We put the needs of others first in our everyday lives. And if you go to the next slide there with all three green people, Sometimes we gather together, and we call those ministries, all right? You need to be looking for opportunities every day to bless others. Do you know what blessing others do? You know what that does? When you take opportunity to put the needs of others first in your everyday life, at work, school, whatever you're doing, it tills or softens the heart. It tills and softens hardened hearts so that people are more prepared to hear God's love, to receive the gospel. And so we look for opportunities every day to bless and serve others. And then there's times where we gather together with others because, honestly, you couldn't run a food bank out of your basement. You can't. You can't do it on your own. So in order, if we're going to do that, we need to come together. So it's fine to mentor and disciple a high school student, but it's much better if we can gather together and have a bunch of like-minded, gifted people who can run a student ministry. And I honestly don't care if you choose a place inside the church or outside the church to be serving. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all kingdom. But we gather together with others because sometimes we can do more with more resources and people. Make sense? All right, so let me break this down again a little bit more simple. Okay? One thing at a time. Okay? One thing at a time. So we have 3, 1, 7. So there's three elements, which are breathe, love, serve. Okay? One. Okay? I am simple. All right? I'm simple. Don't nod. One thing at a time. When God was promising his people that they would enter into a land he called the Promised Land, this is your inheritance. In the Old Testament, he said there's some things you're going to need to do. And he called them to this land of milk and honey, and he gave them this vision of where they would end up. But those people had to intentionally take steps to get there. And so they walked through a Red Sea, and they walked through a desert. And you know, it wasn't their actions that made the difference. God was doing it all the way. And they ended up across the river from one of the main strongholds of this land. And God said, look, when you enter in there, you've got to conquer this whole land. It's yours, but you need to take it. And so they made plans. They sent spies over to this place called Jericho. It was a walled city. And they made a plan of attack while still depending on God. And once they crossed the river, God said, I've got a different plan. You've walked with intentionality to here, but I'm going to change things a little. Had they not come to the river, had they not crossed, had they not stood at the walls of Jericho, had they not sent spies, God wouldn't have been able to do any of that stuff. It's still all about God. And he said, look, you just march around the city. Do this marching thing. The walls will come down and you'll start with this one city. You just do one thing. One thing at a time as God leads. One thing. That's all I'm calling you to. One thing. Because if we don't be careful, okay, if we're trying to do this breathe, love, serve thing, all of a sudden we're going to 2 or 3 worship services a week. We're involved in 2 or 3 ministries. We got 15 things going on in a day with our life. We're trying to give all we can to God and we get burnt out and we get tired and we don't want to do it anymore. And we're saying, God, like, why would you call me to this? And he's like, I didn't. You weren't listening. You were not keeping in step with my spirit. So I'm calling you to one thing. What does that mean in breathe? Okay? So if breathing and touching God is the language we're using for lack of a better term, spiritual growth. Okay? Breathing and touching God. I want you to find one time per day. One. One time per day where you breathe and touch God on your own. That's it. It can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever you have. Begin somewhere. If you're not doing that, start with one thing. Start. Just start. One thing. Find one time per week to gather with other followers of Jesus to grow, to worship together, to learn, to breathe and touch God. Because some of the things we do here, we learn to worship. Are you going to sing at home on your own? Maybe not. But worship isn't about singing. It's about our heart. So you can worship at home on your own. Anything I preach, anything I teach, you all can access. You just have to read. Just have to study. That's all for you. Anything we do here, you can do on your own. Anything you do on your own, you can do here. You find one place per week to gather with believers. And for most of us, that's going to be Sunday morning service. But for shift workers, for other people, it may not be. It may not be if they're connected with Country Hills Church. It may not be Sunday morning church at all. One time per day, one time per week. Love. Find one smaller group of people to be family with, to meet regularly. Maybe that's weekly, maybe that's monthly, maybe that's biweekly. For most people, it's going to be small groups. Some of you have a close-knit family or a friend group that's not connected with Country Hills. That's great. Doesn't matter. Does not matter who you're connected with, what other believers you're connected with to learn to be family and express and receive God's love. You need that. A smaller group of people. Find one. Doesn't matter if you're meeting weekly, biweekly, monthly. You know they've got your back. You know if there's an emergency in their life, you're there for them. When they're having hard times, you can speak the hard word. When they're having a great time, you celebrate with them and vice versa. We need that. We can't just gather here and not know people. And at greeting time, we meet some new people and you kind of know a little bit of stuff going on with people. We need those things. So for most people, that's going to be small groups. And then find one thing per day. You can't make it happen. You're just open. Find an openness for God to be able to give you the opportunity to share his love with someone else. Every day. You're just open. You can't make it happen. Serve. What about this serving thing? Find one thing. Okay? Learn what you're good at, what you like, your passions, how you tick, and start to do that. Find one thing. Now, some people have more time than others, so maybe you're doing a worship team and a breakfast club at school, a couple things. Maybe you can do three things. But I want to encourage everyone to do one thing with others. Find a group of others and get on board with something that's happening. Maybe it's inside the church. We have tons of needs. AV, kids, youth, you name it. There's lots of opportunities to serve. Food bank, doesn't matter. You find one place per week, biweekly or monthly with another group of people to use your unique giftings for God. If you don't, you're missing out. Here's the reality. We need you. You need us. They need you. You need them. In a smaller group, they are not complete without you. In service, they're not complete without you. And you're not complete without them. I'm not calling you to a whole bunch of activity. Find one. Calling you to a different kind of a lifestyle, all right? And why do we do that? Because in our own uniqueness, in our own, you know, how God has made us, you look for opportunities every day to bless others, every day. So you're being open to share the love of God with others, but how does that begin? Okay, share the gospel with others. How does that begin? By serving others. You look for opportunities every day to get involved in the lives of others and bless them every day. So that's on your own, and look for opportunities weekly, biweekly, or monthly to gather together with others to do the same thing. In the church, outside the church, in your community, doesn't matter. Okay? When you bless others, what does that do? It softens the soil of hardened hearts to be ready to receive the gospel that who's sharing with them? God already. Holy Spirit's already doing that. If it's true that the Holy Spirit is the one who draws people to salvation, then he's already doing that. He's just looking for people to be willing to be his hands and feet to what God is already doing. So three elements: breathe, love, serve, one thing at a time. Look, if you're not doing any of these things, you're already doing one. You came to church. Good job. Okay, that's a start. If you're not spending quiet times or you're not using your gifts, don't start it all at once. For goodness sakes, pick one thing. Find one thing to do. If you're not spending quiet time, do 5 minutes a day. Just start there. If you're not serving anywhere, find a breakfast club or a ministry, something in the church, something in your community, and volunteer once every couple weeks. Just start. Do something. Three elements, one thing, seven markers. Any lifestyle worth living needs to have some measures to it. Needs to have some way to see, how am I doing at this? And I preached on these in the fall, so if you want to hear about these in more detail, you can go on our website and get the MP3s or the videos. But our denomination has this thing called Sevenfold Way of Following Jesus. I don't necessarily like the name so much, but I love the concept. Okay, these are seven measures, seven markers to look at your life against. You put your life beside these and say, how am I doing in this? Okay, these are seven things that will help you. If you choose not to use these, that's fine. Use something. Some way to see, how am I doing in my walk with Jesus? And then you can use it with others to help others discover how they're doing in their walk with Jesus. I have begun following Jesus. Okay? That's a good start. You need to start there. And I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. You're not depending on a system, on a church, on a pastor, on someone you know with your walk. You're depending on the the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, okay? I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him too. You're being sent. You're a scattered church. You're just not coming here. You're out there on your own, in your own life, following Jesus. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behavior, and character. You're changing. God doesn't want to keep you the same. He accepts you as you are, but he's not content to leave you there in your mess. All right? I'm learning to love God and love others. Great commandment. I'm learning the teachings of Jesus. So you're spending time learning what Jesus teaches. I am helping someone and someone is helping me to be a growing follower of Jesus. You're in the mess of life with others. You can't live this thing alone. I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission. All on mission means is with intention. The Israelites, as they marched towards the promised land, had a vision in mind, and they had intention. They're walking with purpose. That's all I'm calling you to. We believe that God has a vision for us out here, and this is the way we're calling you to walk with intention. Guess what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit and you walk with intention? You're going this way, and the whole way, he's going to be doing this to you. And you're going to be saying, I thought you meant, nope, I want you to do this now. I want you to do this. But if you're not walking, if you're not willing to walk towards what he's calling, he won't be using you. Third thing, disciple, disciple, disciple. What makes this whole thing run? I'm not trying to build a new institution, call you to a new system, a new structure. We are not dependent on a structure. Anything I teach this morning, that I talk about tonight, that we talked about Thursday night, those can all change. They all change. We're called to the same things as others. We could pick other words other than breathe, love, serve. We can do any of that stuff. The thing that doesn't change is the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, what? This is Jesus' last words. He could say anything. And he says this, you go. I have authority to do anything. And here's anything I want you to do. I want you to, when you scatter in your own lives and when you gather together, this one thing, I want you to make disciples of all the nations, everyone. It's not limited. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you, you're not alone. He's calling us to life on life with others. Okay, not alone, not private. Life on life with others. And be sure that I'm with you too. We're not called to build a church building. Not at all. Although I'll be honest, getting a little sick of the pink. So it'd be great to be able to do something else in here. Let that sink in. We are not called to make converts. My goodness, we're not called to make converts. Making converts means we preach and play a good game and let people make their own decision on here, over there, on their own. You know what? The Holy Spirit and God, they're so powerful. They work in the midst of that anyway. But we don't just get people to cross the line of faith. I believe in Jesus and then leave them on the sidewalk to die. We're called to make disciples and walk with others so that as we're making disciples, our disciples make disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. It's ongoing. That's the guts of all of this. We can scrap anything else we do as church. We can change anything in the service. We can meet in a circle. We can not sing. We can dim the lights. We can whatever we want. We can do anything we want with small groups, any programs. We can scrap anything other than this one thing. If we are making disciples, we are being the church. If we're not, we're not. So my heart, my desire, my belief is that God wants to take country hills and take us where we are and make us look a little bit more like this. Have a look. Thank you. the church? Absolutely. Church is people. Do we need buildings and stuff like that? No, but they're great. Our programs are simply opportunities. That's all they are. Opportunities to get together. We gather on Sunday mornings because it makes more sense than having a whole bunch of smaller times all over the place. We have smaller groups that are organized. Call them small groups. Because we believe that it's valuable for people to be family. That you need that and that we need you. We organize community initiatives and food banks and drop-ins and hallelujah parties and all these things because we believe that people around us need to experience Jesus in a different way than they ever have by just saying, no strings attached. We love you. If you make disciples, you always get the church. If you make a church, you rarely get disciples. I'm calling you, I'm inviting you to a different kind of lifestyle. Okay? Our language here is just simply breathe, love, serve. Remember the 3-1-7 thing. We've got three elements to this. You live it on your own because you're planted somewhere, you're scattered. God sent you out, and we gather because we need each other. But just do one thing. Do one thing at a time. Don't complicate it. Learn to live with passion and intentionality. We believe God is calling us to do whatever it takes to see his kingdom spread, whatever it takes to make disciples. Making disciples means you get messy with others. It means that long before anyone makes a decision to follow Jesus, long before they come into a church, you're walking with them. And you're prepared for when the Holy Spirit blows wide their heart open to him. And as they begin to walk, they follow you. Jesus had disciples who followed him. And those disciples discipled others to follow Jesus. Jesus had disciples. Guess what? You will have disciples. But your disciples don't follow you. They follow Jesus. Guess what you're trying to do? Guess where this all comes together? If you're living a breathe, love, serve lifestyle, if you're learning to breathe and love God on your own and gathering together to do that with others, if you're learning to love others on a daily basis and you're gathered together in some sort of small family where you care for each other and you're connected, you're not just disjointed, this isn't just a bunch of strange faces, at least there's a smaller group of people, whether in the church or elsewhere, who are following Jesus, who you know have your back. And if you are using your gifts, talents, abilities, your resources to bless others on a daily basis and you're gathering with others to do some bigger initiatives and you invite someone to watch you follow Jesus and you're helping them to do the same thing too, you have instant accountability. Instant accountability. Boy, those of you who are parents, once you have a little kid and you've got some of those habits, you know, and you ever had the moment where they look at you and you're like, I shouldn't be doing this because they're going to learn this. That's what making disciples is all about. You invite someone into your life intimately, and you get involved in theirs. Then we're not all about strangers walking in a door. Hopefully they fill out a greeting card and sit down and get involved in small groups and serve somehow. You're walking with others. God didn't call us to be alone. He doesn't want us to be alone. And guess what? Making disciples has very little to do with church structure, church programs, budget, meetings, any of this stuff. It has everything to do with his kingdom. And who builds God's kingdom? God. All we're doing here as a church with our buildings and our programs, and they're not bad. They're useful, but they have a place. If today I was laying out a new strategy for church growth, I would be holding up our programs, our plans way up here and saying, look, if you do this, God will be in this. And God will trail along like he's supposed to and do what we've said. I'm asking you to do this. Put God first in your life. Seek him. Know him. Follow him. Obey his call to love others and make disciples. Just be open. He'll do it. He'll provide people in your life who you know you will walk with long term as they become a disciple. and as they make disciples too. And where do our programs fit? Well, they follow behind and do as they should. And we tell them what to do. Our church services can change. Our staffing can change. Our programs can change. Anything can change. But this one thing does not. We are called to love, and we're called to make disciples. Engage with the three elements. Live a breathe, love, serve lifestyle, both on your own as individuals and as we gather together as a church. Begin with one thing at a time. If you're not doing some of these things, just pick one. Ask God, what will you do? And watch him do things in your life. Choose one way per element, ultimately. Choose one way per element, per week, biweekly or monthly, to connect together as church. For most of us, that will be, what we're doing right now. For most of us, it may be small groups. For most of us, it may be a ministry within the church. It might not be. Look for one way per element per day to live out on your own. Spend time with God every day. He loves you. He is the one who designed you. He's the one who does it anyway. So spend time with him every day. Look for ways to share God's love with others every day. And look for ways to bless others so their heart is softened to receive his good news, his message. Pray for one person to disciple. You don't have to disciple 50. Ask God to give you one person you can walk with. If you don't feel spiritually fit, like you're there, none of us are. Jesus never sent his disciples out once they were ready. No. Just read the Gospels. They're as messy as us. It's a good laugh at how immature they were sometimes compared to what we expect a mature follower of Jesus to be like. Just simply ask and watch what God does as he puts in your life someone who needs him, but has chosen you to be the person to share that with them. Use the 7 markers to track your health. There's cards at the back that have them all on it. I carry in my wallet. I look at it regularly. How am I doing in these things? I use it in addition to God's word and worship. It's not the Bible. It's a tool. Tools can change, but for now, we have 7 markers to track your health and to help others grow. What do we need to do to see this happen? The honest truth is we need to pray. All that I said today is fine. You can go home, you can apply all this on your own, but if we don't have God behind it, we're sunk. The world is lost. God is building his kingdom, and we need you to pray. Look, I meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 to pray over our services and other stuff that's going on. Meet with us. Come at 9:30. Wouldn't that be awesome to seek God together every week, at least once together? To have to move out of my office to somewhere bigger because we realize it's not about our programs or the worship or the media or the lights or any of the stuff. It's about God first and foremost. We need to pray. Come tonight and pray. We're not putting our faith in a system, a structure, a new thing, a new book. We're putting our faith in God, but we're being intentional by living a different way. That's what I'm calling you to. Because the honest truth is, God planned Country Hills from the very beginning. It's his design. It's his thing. He believes in us. And in the bottom of my heart, I believe in you. I believe he's called us something greater than we could ever ask or imagine. And so this morning, I simply invite you to a different kind of life, making disciples. I've started doing that myself. It's a journey. And it's a very different kind of life than a bunch of rules and regulations. It puts us in balance with what God has for us. So as we close, I just want to do one thing with you. Sometimes when you hear sermons like this or calls, you hear an invitation if you're on board to stand up or put up your hand, and always gets awkward and you feel guilty if you're sitting down and you're not ready. I don't want to do that. I just simply want us all to stand. Go ahead. And as we go this morning, I want to do the same thing that we do with missions teams when they go. I want to commission you. I want to pray for you. I want us to be sent out. We are God's people, gathered and scattered to go and love a broken world and make disciples. And if we can do that through whatever system or pattern God places in our hands at any given time as a local church body, that's all he desires. So I simply want to pray and commission you out this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person gathered here, each person connected with Country Hills Church, for our community, for every friend, relative, neighbor, coworker, classmate, everyone we know in our life who we have a relationship with. I ask that through us, we might be disciple makers. Lord, that we would so live a different kind of lifestyle as a church that we would really be keeping in step with your Spirit and seeing your kingdom spread. Father, I pray for a church that's alive, not dead, not reserved, not worried about what kind of worship or any of that stuff. A church that's alive because of life transformation. We'd be filled with stories of people who have had healing and life change. People who are coming to know you regularly. Workplaces that are being transformed. A community that's being shaped and molded because your followers are here. A business place across the streets in the businesses there that are being changed and shaped because we're here. Lord, in our neighborhoods, may we be disciple makers. May we breathe you. May you be our air. May we touch you tangibly. May we love one another deeply. And may that love be spread to everyone else around you because of what you've first done for us. And Father, may we serve others without consideration for our own needs, putting the needs of others first, that their hearts might be softened. Holy Spirit, as you draw them to you, God, may you continue to draw us together and send us out. We thank you for Country Hills. Bless you for Mark Bolander and so many others nearly 30 years ago who started to pray this into being. May we be faithful to pray it to continue. May we be faithful to follow. May we see even greater things from you in us. In Jesus' name I pray.